Hi. Woo! That would not be good to trip over. That would not be good to trip over at all. Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
So good.
I like the sound of that. I'm doing so good. So good. Yes. Well, there's a first for everything, isn't there? There's a first for everything, isn't there? Hey, what's going on back there? You don't have any chairs?
That's all the folks that went to Israel and or Nicaragua.
They had a gut feeling, and now they're heading to their seats. Cool. Okay. Well, good evening. Did you have a good dinner? I had a nice gift. And it was pretty darn good. Somebody made me challah. Where are you? Mr. Challah Maker. Oh, man, it was awesome. Thank you so much. It's the same size as mine that I make at home. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Thank you so much. That was a wonderful, wonderful treat. I appreciate it. Shabbat shalom. Yes. You know, shalom, because I'm learning Hebrew again, has an interesting meaning that nailed me across the forehead. Shalom, I'm not going to tell you what it means, but what do you think it means? Huh? Peace. That's the general definition that most people think the word shalom means, is peace. But the first word that is used in the translation, not describing, but defining shalom to English is complete. 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 Then serenity. Then peace. Complete serenity and peace. Complete. What a beautiful word, shalom. And this is so awesome. How many of you have ever been to Israel? Cool. We just had the most special, phenomenal trip. This one was so special. And not that the first one wasn't. The first one was too. It was amazing. But this one was like so, so amazing. And I'm so excited. Next March, we're going again. We're going to go again next March. Shalom meaning complete. The reason why that's profound to me, complete is a really important word, right? It's complete. It's lacking nothing, right? But when you're in Israel, the way that you greet somebody is by saying shalom. The way you depart from somebody is by saying shalom. So hello and goodbye in Hebrew is shalom, which I think is so powerful, and here's why. Because you're saying you're complete. They're praying a blessing. A blessing is being spoken over you when you greet somebody and when you leave them. So they're speaking over you complete serenity and peace. That's what's being spoken over you. When you greet a friend or a perfect stranger on the street, walking down the street, shalom, shalom. And what are they speaking about it to each other? Complete, whole, you're whole. And peace. What do we say over here? Hi. What the heck does hi mean? What does hi mean? Hi and bye. What does that mean? It's a greeting. It's like, what is that? Hi. Hello. How you doing? Versus peace, completeness, wholeness, serenity. Like, I'd much rather be greeted and sent away with shalom than hi, bye. See ya. Okay. How does my boot look? Is it nice? Am I modeling well? See my little pump? It pumps air into it. Yeah, they're Jordans, man. I honestly can't believe it. All the ankles. This is reaping and sowing. Ah, oh, poop stain. Because I broke a lot of people's ankles when I was playing basketball. But I've never broken an ankle. You see what I just said? This is reaping and sowing right here. I broke my own ankle. Okay. Yeah, no, I have. It's been a long time since I've broken somebody's ankle, but now I broke my own. That's okay. It's fixing itself by the healing power that God put in our bodies, which is awesome. Okay, tonight is going to be very different than anything you've ever experienced, perhaps. Remember earlier we were talking about the loosening up the root system, okay? So we're going to pick up where we left off this morning. And where we left off this morning was with forgiveness. And we left off with loosening up that soil, because the soil is what is constricting those roots, right? So that soil gets really hard around those roots. So we've loosened up some of the soil. How many of you feel a little looser inside? Okay, that's awesome. You feel that, right? You felt some movement going on. You maybe even have had a little bit of release from some anxiety. You maybe have had just breathing a little deeper. You know what I mean? That's what the power of forgiveness does. And when you're releasing people and things, it's a really powerful thing. But where we're going to take this to one step further is when I was talking about killing the root system. Now, there are some things in our lives that have it that go from like something is really bothering us to a tormenting version of it, right? Where you're being pounded and pounded and pounded and pounded. How many have ever been pounded by your own thoughts before? Okay, awesome. And how many of you have been pounded even to the point of taking action on what's being pounded into you, right? So those are the things we're going to kill today, is the pounding of things that pound against your soul and dig at you really, really bad. There is some personal responsibility with what I'm going to show you, what I'm going to teach you, and then what we're going to do together tonight. I'm going to read a bunch of passages to confirm and prove that what is going to happen tonight is totally biblical, because we come from all different walks of faith. And I want to tell you where I actually got this from and why I'm doing this with you. I did not believe in what I'm about to demonstrate with you. I didn't believe in it at all, actually. I thought it was a big fat joke. I thought it was a denominational thing, and I didn't think that it was necessary, and I thought that it was just a big hoax and a giant show. And that's typically how I approach quite a few things. And knowing my gem, you understand why I typically approach things like that, which is rather cynical. It doesn't work that way. Rather cynical and first very skeptical. That's my natural way of thinking, is I'm first going to be skeptical of something until proven otherwise. And then once you prove me otherwise, I'm in. And you cannot move me from this place, right? So back in 2000, right at the turn, January 2000, Hans and I moved from the flatlands up to the mountains, and we moved into a place where our elevation was around 4,000 feet elevation. And right when we moved into this enormous 5,600 square foot house, you've all heard the story about the debt story, right? So here's some more story about that story. I was quickly diagnosed with a fatal heart condition. And that fatal heart condition was called supraventricular reentrance tachycardia. And this issue, the side effects were sudden death. And I remember asking the doctor, like, what exactly does that mean? Sudden death is a side effect? I mean, what about the side effect, you know, that, you know, your leg stops working or something? But like, what do you mean? How's that a side effect? How is sudden death a side effect? You know what I'm saying? A side effect is you get diarrhea, right? A side effect is you can't sleep. Do you know what I'm saying? A side effect is you get nauseous. Not a side effect that you have sudden death, right? So I'm asking the question, like, how is that a side effect? And he says, well, basically what it means is that you will drop dead of a heart attack and no one will be able to revive you. So isn't like someone has a heart attack, you dial 911, they get there, they're able to do something for you? No, your heart, your side effect is sudden death. Supraventricular reentrance tachycardia basically meant that I was born with two electrical pathways in my heart. It never manifested until I was 31 years old. It didn't manifest until we moved up into high elevation and when my stress had peaked. Prior to that, it never manifested. However, I did have a heart attack when I was 24. So I did have a heart attack. They never did anything to find out, you know, if there was any deeper issues. It's like, you had a heart attack, now suck on nitrogen every day, several times a day. No joke. That was the answer for heart attack. Well, when you feel your heart start to race, just suck on this little white pill. Okay. And you literally put dynamite in your mouth underneath your tongue and you suck on that stuff. Isn't that incredible? Wonderful drug. Okay. So I'm 24 and I'm sucking on dynamite. It's awesome. Truly awesome. Great way to go. So anyway, nothing happened with my heart until many years later, 6 years later, and my heart is racing, and my heart would race to 300 beats a minute inside of 60 seconds. Out of nowhere, the way that they tested my heart is they put me on a treadmill with an EKG on. Within 60 seconds, I went from a resting heart rate around 60 to 70, to 300, falling over, doctor, nurse catches me. After a series of tests, they give me this diagnosis. I go to two different cardiologists because, of course, I don't believe the first one. So, and then, of course, I'm going to go and I'm going to find, you know, who is the smartest, most, you know, studied that knows everything about this. Long story short, the prognosis was I needed a pacemaker. I'm 30 years old and I need a pacemaker. And I need to be on three different medications to monitor my heart. The medications will, the side effects are, they will kill my liver and my kidneys, right? So I'm like, I think I'll have two bad organs instead of three. I think I'm going to take your medication suggestion and you can keep them in a very dark place. Anyway, so I hit a bus picking up my kids from school at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I hit a bus filled with elderly people. Because my heart just would race out of nowhere. I passed out at the wheel and hit a bus. Fortunately, nobody was hurt. One sweet little old guy had a little thingy on his nose and that was it. However, my driver's license got taken away and it got taken away indefinitely because of this heart condition that I had. So I suffered greatly. Hans and I, being intimate with each other, you know what I'm talking about, right? The two-back beast. Anyway, so being intimate with each other was a problem because my heart would just... You could feel my heart coming out of my chest, right? So not only could I feel it, but somebody else could feel it. It was like bam, 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 bam. So it was a very scary time. It was a terrible time. We had five kids. The youngest was 7 months old when this happened. So it was a horrible, horrible thing. So I literally just lived with this. We immediately, that was another reason for selling the house, getting out of the high elevation, moving down to about 1,500 feet elevation. And that seemed to help a little bit so that it wasn't racing. But I couldn't go skiing with the kids. I couldn't get back in high elevation. And we lived in the mountains. So we just kind of moved to the lower end. We moved into the valley. So it was a terrible, terrible time for us. It was a very scary time. And of course, the doctor said I had to stop working, reduce my stress, all this stuff. You know, how do you reduce your stress when you have those kids, right? How does that happen? So long story short, my sister-in-law came to visit, and my sister-in-law had juvenile onset rheumatoid arthritis. And this arthritis was very debilitating for her. She used to help me with my kids until she couldn't anymore. Her ankles were fused together. This kind of a disease basically eats your joints and fuses your bones together. So at 12, she had a full shoulder replacement. She's had both shoulders replaced. She's had both hips replaced. She now has had both elbows replaced. So here she's beautiful. She's in her mid-20s. She's had this disease since she was 12 years old. And there are things like she couldn't do this. Do you understand? She couldn't flip taco shells, cooking. Came to the point where she couldn't pick up a newborn baby, that a 6-pound baby was too heavy for her. Couldn't walk up and down stairs. So her and my brother-in-law, Hans's brother, moved to Hawaii. And something happened one day while they were meeting with Hans's mentor, his first wealth mentor, Damien. You hear Hans talk about Damien. And Damien is the same one that invited us to church, remember, 25 years ago, that I was cussing and screaming and being all mean, right? This is that same man, all right? So Damien lives in Hawaii. He's a multimillionaire. He's wealthy because of real estate, and he was one of our wealth mentors. And so God also blessed him with the ability to bring healing and deliverance into people's lives. Healing and deliverance was something I did not believe in. I didn't believe in it predominantly because I watched an evangelist chase married women while he was married. That's why I lost complete belief in healing and deliverance. So Karen and Josh go to Damien's church, which basically is at a restaurant on a Sunday. Here's this millionaire who wears big giant Coke bottle glasses with medical tape holding them together right here and right here. The man is a martial artist. He's a father with a big family. And he owns majority of the real estate in downtown Kona, Hawaii on Ali'i Drive, the most expensive real estate that exists on the whole island of Hawaii. That's where he lives, and that's what he owns. So one afternoon after Sunday, again, how many people show up at this church? 15. The same man, Damien, the wealth mentor of Hans, that really was a father to Hans when he was 12, that was the first one to plant seeds that he could believe in himself, challenged him to make money. You'll hear more of that later, and you'll hear some of the things that Damien taught him. Karen arrives at our house unannounced. A knock on the door. I'm in the middle of cooking tacos. I answer the door. It's my sister-in-law. And I'm like, whoa, how are you? Now, I had heard that she had received prayer and that God had delivered her. And that after this time of prayer and some binding and loosening of things, that she went running through the church. She hadn't ran since before she was 12. So I hear about it over the phone. I'm like, wah, wah, wah. Yeah, sure. But it's Damien. Do you understand what I mean? It's Damien. So there's like a little intrigue. It's Damien. You know, Damien's a good man, blah, 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 blah. I don't know about this kind of whatever. She shows up and she goes running up our stairs to go say hi to the kids. I'm like, how are you? I'm good. Where are the kids? I'm like, she's going up the stairs. She then comes down the stairs with now Micah, who's 2 years old. The 6-pound baby that she couldn't hold 2 years before. Now she's holding a 2-year-old big old fat kid. She comes back down the stairs with this heavy 2-year-old on her hip. She then comes in with Micah on her hip at the stove. Hey, can I help you with the tacos? I'm looking at this like, I stop, I go, what's going on? She's like, God healed me. I got healed. How? Damien prayed with me. It was kind of crazy, but I got delivered. All right. That's cool. She's with us for a week. I'm watching all this. I'm still passing out. My heart is still racing. I got done with it. I ended up going to Hawaii, and that in itself is a whole nother miracle that I will not talk about right now. But a whole nother miracle is I went to Hawaii by myself, and on the airplane ride on the way to Hawaii, I had an oxygen tank next to me. Because with my heart condition, I can't go up in high elevation, remember? Makes my heart race. Less oxygen. Apparently does something to my heart. So I have an oxygen tank. I'm literally sucking oxygen, this green tank next to my seat. And I'm flying to Hawaii. taking my own life into my own hands because I cannot handle this anymore. I've been battling with this for a year and a half. And I'm looking ahead. I'm now 31 and a half going, this is the rest of my life. I will not be able to be active with my husband or my kids. We're going to be stuck in the flatlands, not able to work. I'm dying here. This, by the way, is a year and a half into my retirement. This is a year and a half of the birth of war on debt, of learning to live frugal. Do you understand? A lot of lessons happened in these 4 years. This one is probably the most powerful. I arrive. I head to the church. They're having a Wednesday night gathering. There's somebody that's there. It's a friend of Damien's, and they happen to be showing a video on a small little television set. And this woman on the TV screen, as the person praying for her, minister, we'll call it, she's manifesting. She's a beautiful woman, but her face is all contorted, and she's got this really evil voice that's coming out of her mouth on the video. And he says, what is your name? And she says, the Black Sickle. And I'm telling you, my hair on my whole body stood up. I felt like it was like this. I felt like buckwheat from the, what was it, the Little Rascals? Yeah, woo. Okay, everywhere all over my body. Now, mind you, how many of you went outside at dinner? Immediately when you hit outside, what do you feel? The warmth of the humidity, right? Okay, well, that's like Hawaii. Hawaii's just like that. So that's how it is. It's warm outside. It's not cold outside, but all of a sudden, that woman says, the Black Sickle, frink, and my hair stood up for 15 straight minutes. I'm like, that's odd. I keep looking. I'm looking at my watch. I'm looking at my hair standing. I'm hoping nobody else can see. It eventually goes away. About 45 minutes goes by, and at the very end of the video, all of a sudden there's a compilation of all the different deliverances that had happened. So here comes the woman, the Black Sickle. This is strange. This is not good. So after the whole thing, I finally realize there might be something wrong. I go up to Damien. Danny, how are you? Gosh, so good to see you. Yeah, can I talk to you? Yeah, sure. Talk. Not here. I heard you had some heart challenges. I do. Would you like some prayer? Yeah, that'd be great. But I really need to talk to you. Go ahead, go ahead. Is there a private place or time we can talk? I'm getting chills just thinking about it right now. I freaked out, man. I was so freaked out. Like this strange thing. Yeah, come to my office tomorrow morning at 9:30. Okay, great. So I go to his office, and I begin to tell him what happened. And then he says, okay, hold on, let me pray for you. And he begins to pray. And he calls up the Black Sickle. And all of a sudden, my face and my body was no longer mine. Oh, no. All of a sudden, I started laughing at him. Like that. And inside, I'm like, what's going on? Stop. Oh, my gosh. I'm totally dishonoring Damien. This is so lame. Oh, my gosh. Stop, stop. What's happening? What's happening? What's happening? But my mouth is speaking, not of my tongue, but another tongue. And he says, what is your legal right? And the spirit said, her father, her father. And then he says, Danny, come back. This is the crap you see in movies. Do you understand what I'm saying? This ain't no real stuff, right? At least I didn't think so. So he says to me, what did you see? What did you just see? What picture did you have in your head? What happened? I said, I'm so sorry, man. That wasn't me. He goes, I know. Don't worry about it. I know that wasn't you. And I told him, I said, I saw the story I'd always heard that after my mom got pregnant, that my dad tried to have my mom jumped by two other women, that he infected her with gonorrhea and syphilis, and that they beat my mom and were kicking her in the stomach trying to abort me. That's what I saw. So I'm like, what does this mean? The sins of the father passed down to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. But I will bless those for 1,000 generations of those who love me. It was a generational curse of death trying to abort me purposely. Not to mention, my mom also tried to kill the two of us when she was 8.5 months pregnant with me in her apartment on Azusa Street, sitting on the toilet with a chef knife at her belly, about to drive in through me and her. Suicide had tormented me since I was 6. That's the first recollection I have of the first time I tried to commit suicide. Something would come over me, and I couldn't stop it. And I made many attempts on my life. What was the entrance, the legal right? My father, who was a young guy from Nicaragua, who was as horny as every other Nicaraguan and Latin and any other male, who saw this chubby, cute, platinum blonde, green-eyed girl, brought her back to his apartment, and he knocked her up. She consented. She was all hot and bothered by that handsome thing, too. Bottom line is that between my mom and my dad wanting to do away with this pregnancy, a spirit of death entered me. That spirit of death spoke to me many times, thousands and thousands of times. So that day, Damien simply just bound the spirit of death and casted it out. And it left. And not only did it leave, but it left with a bunch of other things too. Like things I didn't even know were spirits. But as soon as I had been delivered, oh my gosh, then I had seen what had been tormenting me. Like the spirit of perversion. I was molested the first time when I was 3. A spirit of perversion entered me when I was molested. And the spirit of perversion will entice and bring your hands, your feet, your entire body into beds where it does not belong. The spirit of perversion, I would feel so ashamed and so guilty as I'd spend hours reading my Bible. I'd spend 2-3 hours in prayer every day, and yet my sleep was haunted by perverted sexual dreams, not with my husband, but with other people, men and women. I would be in my waking hours in a grocery store, and I would see a couple, and I would see them naked. I could be at my office talking to somebody, and all of a sudden, I would see a sexual act. That spirit of perversion controlled my thoughts, and I didn't even know it. A spirit of perversion led me into a perversion of spirituality as well. That spirituality that took me to practicing witchcraft, with seances, talking to the dead, having psychics chant for me, levitation, all kinds of weird crap, Ouija boards, you name it. That spirit of perversion also perverted my understanding of money, opened the door for greed. Greed that also almost took my life. Money, rather than it being a tool, it became my God. It ruled my thoughts. It's also what drove me to work 16 to 18 hours a day. If 5 to 6 days a week, neglecting the most important thing in my life, Hans and the kids, who I convinced myself that it would be better if I was dead. It would be better for them that they'd be happier without me. I was also delivered the spirit of depression. I spent so many hours crying and hiding under the covers. My kids would do what kids do. They'd start arguing and fighting. I'd run and hide under the covers because I was afraid that I might do something bad to them because I couldn't handle the 15th fight that day. But on that trip, God completely delivered me. And I've not had a single suicidal thought since June 28th of 2001. My heart got healed, no doubt. And I am a medical miracle today, no doubt. Yeah. And proven by the medical profession. And that's their answer. The best cardiologist in the world, Dr. Saxon at UC San Francisco. She's the one who developed the technology that takes care of a heart like mine. Travels all over the world and trains doctors on how to do that procedure. Yeah, when it came to me, when we went into the procedure, the drug that they administered didn't work on me to get my heart race. So literally, I was terrified that I was going to die in that surgery. We come out, and she says, we have to do it again. I'm like, what? The drug that we gave you would not make your heart race. That happens in 10% of the patients. Awesome. But God had a plan. And his plan was to use that heart condition to drive me. To drive me where? To a place of deliverance instead of a doctor. Yeah. He used my health condition to bring me to my knees and bring me to a place of desperation that I would seek him. Glory. And he would show me what had bound me up. He used that to bring me to the place where I would be open-minded. Because he not only wanted my heart to be healed, he wanted me to be free. You see, the doctors could have healed my heart, but that isn't all that God wanted for me. He wanted me to be free. Yeah. And free indeed. And I didn't know that I wasn't free. I didn't know that I had the spirit of perversion. I didn't know that I had a spirit of depression. And I didn't know that I had a spirit of suicide and death. I did not know. And no matter how much I would pray, no matter how many tapes I would listen to, no matter how much I would worship, no matter how many times I went to church, nothing fixed it. So I know that right now, this might be the place where we part ways. This might be the place where our theology is so different. And that you much rather cling to your theology that you learned in Sunday school than to believe the truth of the fullness of the word of the living God. And if you rather cling to the theology you've been spoon-fed your entire life, I honor you in that. Because what I'm sharing with you shakes some of the theology you believe. I was a spirit-filled, Bible-thumping, praying, interceding, worshiping woman. And I was infested with demons. Go tell your pastor that. He'll try to tell you it's not biblical. And you can give him this answer from me. I don't know about that. All I know is I am now free from depression and have been for 17 years. My heart has no problems and has been healed for 17 years. I no longer have the spirit of perversion, and it's been 17 years. How is that possible? Let's look at what the Bible says. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." In fact, can I get a few of you up here? Bring your Bibles. Grab a mic. Let's do this together because I'm going to look something else up. So I need one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight of you. Grab the mics. Say what? So that first one I gave you was 1 Peter 5 and 8. Yes. So James 4, 7. Yep. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 7. Proverbs 18, 21. Matthew 12, 43 through 45. Matthew 16, 23, John 27, Numbers 14, 18 through 19. Look up Acts 5, 3 for me. We literally could go on for hours. I'm not kidding you. There's tons in here. I want to read you this one. Matthew 15, 23 says this. "For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and stubbornness is as wickedness as idolatry." Rebellion is a spirit. Rebellion is as the sin of divination. Divination is witchcraft. Witchcraft is a spiritual thing. So when we walk in rebellion, we are practicing witchcraft. When we walk in insubordination, we are practicing witchcraft. Witchcraft is a real thing. I had a spiritual mom who passed away last year, about 4'9" and about 5 feet wide. Beautiful African-American woman that her gifting and what she put most of her focus and time on was casting out demons. Really with those who were former Satanists, vampires, satanic priests, practices of witchcraft. So she got heavy into delivering people from that. So they would tell her how that whole world worked, and even that they went to school for this stuff. And that in witchcraft, they literally send, there's schooling for witchcraft where they teach them how to act like Christians and send them into the church. They teach them how to dance like the Christians dance with the flags in front of the room. So I have to tell you, right after I gave my life back to my Messiah, I walked in on Halloween, and the church had a harvest party, their answer to Halloween, because they refused to just not participate. Still pagan. So, but let's not celebrate Sukkot, which is biblical, and lots of fun and a big feast and lots of joy and tons of food and lots of sweets. But no, let's like dress up as Bible characters on Halloween instead of dressing up as a witch. A former satanic priest had been led to Jesus by my pastor. I walk in into the sanctuary after the kids are in their little harvest thing fishing for candy. I walk in because I left something in the sanctuary and I saw something really powerful. What I saw was the satanic priest, who now is a Christian, with dark black eyes, I see my pastor with this cloud over his head, and he's scratching his head, and this former satanic priest is laying hands on people. And I walk through, and there's people on the ground, and they look up at me, and their eyes are black. And I'm like, whoa, what is this? I see it with my physical eyes. I go and I tell my spiritual mom about it, and she's like, well, let me just sit down and explain a couple of things to you. You can receive an evil spirit by the laying on of hands, just like you can receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands, according to the Bible. So I've seen a lot of stuff. I've heard a lot of stuff. There really is vampires. There really is satanic worship. 27 years ago, this coming December, was our very first creating a dynasty. And in that first dynasty was a child who was raised in the satanic church in San Francisco. She was buried alive 3 times. She was beaten with a crowbar. She had a crowbar stuck up into her female parts. She was forced to have sex with her father, produce a child, and that child's blood was spilled on Halloween night. They had blood sacrifices every Halloween night. How? They produced children, not in a hospital. No one has any record of these children, but they produced children through incest to sacrifice it before Satan, which is a Hebrew name, by the way. The only name in the entire Bible that was not changed. There's only one name in the entire Bible that was not changed. Satan. Jesus' name was changed, given a Greek name. God's name was taken out completely. That's awesome. So it's real. That woman had 85 different personalities. Crazy stuff. So I've personally witnessed it. I have seen tens of thousands of demons being casted out of people with my own eyes, with my own life in these rooms. It's a real thing. This is not a fake thing. This isn't a story. This is real, and it's in the Bible. Go for it.
Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
What was that again? Submit yourself to God. James 4, 7. Submit yourself to God, then, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You see, most of you are getting beat up. You don't even know you're in a war. You're coming home bloody every day. You're at home bloodied. And you don't even realize that there is an adversary that is against you. In these first two passages that we said, be self-controlled and alert. Most of us are asleep. We're not even aware that there are principalities of darkness. We're not even paying attention, but we're catching the blows and the daggers, as we had the beautiful example here on stage. The beautiful blows, the daggers, the accuser of the brethren, which, by the way, Satan means the accuser of the brethren. Right. Who's the brethren? Raise your hands. You're the brethren. The accuser is the evil one. Right. So the evil one speaks through other people what? Lies, because he is the father of lies. What is he? The father of
lies.
He's the father of
lies.
So he speaks lies. He cannot speak truth. He speaks lies. He can quote scripture, but from a completely manipulative position, which when the scripture is used to manipulate, it's not truth. So the father of lies is at you night and day and at your children. His entire mission from day one was to attack the seed, the children, with Adam and Eve. Moses, what was Pharaoh's whole edict out at that time? To kill all the children, the male children of the Israelites, 2 years old and younger. 2,000 years later, what was the edict from Herod? Same one. Kill all of the 2-year-old children. All the little boys. He's after your seed. He's been after you your entire life. You've been bloodied up in a war, not showing up with your weapons, not showing up with your breastplate of or your armor, not showing up with a shield, not being alert or self-controlled, but just taking it. And then we get mad, bitter, resentful, which opens our heart to more of, and not him, but the adversary. This is why the Bible says confess and be healed. Confess takes it off. Confession, forgiveness heals. So when you walk in forgiveness, you walk in confession, you walk in the light and you walk in the truth and you walk in the way. But when you walk in bitterness, you're walking in rebellion. When you're walking in rebellion, you now are a son of Satan versus the son of the living God. We see this with Jesus where he says, you are of your father, Satan, who is the father of lies. So you are in a battle. I am in a battle. It says, be alert, be self-controlled. The enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Who does the enemy devour? Say it. The weak. So the entire plan is to weaken you and to weaken me. Because if we're weak, we're an easy target. If you look at a lion, how a lion hunts, how does a lion hunt? What does it do? They go after the smallest, slowest. That's who they go after. They go in, they scare a flock, right? They divide and conquer. But they divide the flock, they separate those numbers, and then whoever it is that's most scared, whoever is afraid, whoever is the weakest, is the one that gets eaten and gets overcome. Next.
For the weapons we fight with are not fleshly, but mighty in Elohim, for overthrowing strongholds, overthrowing reasonings, and every high matter that exalts itself against the knowledge of Elohim. Take captive every thought to make it obedient to the Messiah, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your disobedience is complete. Take a look at what you're facing. If anyone seems to trust in him that is not of Messiah, let him reckon again for himself, that as he is of Messiah, so also are we.
Amen. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 7. The first verse was 1 Peter 5, 8. Second verse was 1 Samuel 15, 23. Third verse is James 4, 7. Next verse is 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 7. And this one is Proverbs 18, 21.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they love, it shall eat the fruit thereof.
Hey, gentlemen, would you mind coming and sitting down or exiting? Pick one. Thank you. So life and death is in the power of the tongue, okay? How many of you learned that at a much deeper level this morning? With words, right? You're seeing the fruit in your life of your words and the words of other people, correct? You're seeing the fruit of your words and the words of other people. Your life is a combination of words. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. I want us to say that together, that it's in my tongue. Life and death is in the power of Matthew 12, 43 through 45.
When an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert, seeking rest but finding none. Then it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds its former home empty, swept, and clean. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and live there. And so that person is worse off than before. That will be the experience of this evil generation.
Which is the generation we're in right now, in my personal belief. We are of that evil generation right now. Matthew 12, 43 through 45. So this is very clear. And this is Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus in English or Greek, honestly. Named after Zeus, by the way. That's where the name came from, Zeus. Who was a demigod. And the Greeks, when they translated the Bible, they put in a little bit of their heritage, their theology, in through our Bible. I highly recommend getting a hold of the Aramaic Bible for the New Testament, because the New Testament was written in Aramaic. You can find it on Amazon.com by Netzari Press. Get rid of all the Greek stuff out of your Bible and just get from who translated it first, which were the Nazarenes, by the way, Netzari Press. So that was translated from Jews that spoke Aramaic, which Aramaic and English is very, very close. I mean, Aramaic and Hebrew are very, very close in language. It's just a different dialect. But get it. It's on Amazon.com. It's about this thick. There's lots of commentary. There's lots of history in there to explain some things. So Matthew 12, 43 for 45 was just read. So when an evil spirit, this is Yeshua, when an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking to find rest and doesn't find it. Okay? It returns back to the house in which it left. Come here, Brad. So when the spirit of suicide, which have you been delivered of suicide?
Yes, ma'am.
How long ago were you delivered from suicide?
When I started here.
God delivered this man from suicide. Okay. He wrote a suicide note to deliver on Christmas to his family many years ago. Here, he got delivered of that spirit. No longer carries that spirit with him. So look, the spirit of suicide and death was inside of this man. Self-hate was inside of this man. So what this says is that when a spirit leaves a man, now mind you, one-third of Yeshua's ministry was in deliverance, casting out demons. And there's entire churches that will not talk about it. And their congregations are filled with people who need deliverance, who need help. But let me tell you what deliverance isn't good for. Offerings. It ain't. It's not good for offerings. It's just not. Any churches that tend to do anything with deliverance tend to be very, very small. Tiny little ministries is what they are. But they get people free. They bring people to a place of freedom. So when the Spirit leaves a man, and we see throughout the Gospels how the Spirit leaves the man, as you cast it out, you get out. It's by the words that the Spirit entered, and it's by the words that the Spirit will leave. God spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light. We were created in His image. So we have the power and authority that's in us to drive out a spirit out of somebody. Every single one of us does. It's not some deliverance minister that does. The deliverance minister is who? Is someone who went, whoa, dude. That's real. Let's try this thing. I'm not kidding you. Let's try that thing. Let's see how it works. And it works. Why? Check it out. I was telling you this story earlier about my spiritual mama, the 5'5" one. 5x5 one. Okay, so Ruthie had shared with me that as she was deliverance with people who practice witchcraft and all the other death type stuff, that they actually have a manual. They gave her the manual in the place where they tell them how to dance like Christians dance in some churches with their flags and all of this kind of stuff, and to make their way in to get up close to the pastor so that they can be casting spells and performing witchcraft with the pastor and entice the pastor into witchcraft sex to take down the church. Yes. So there's some of you have had witchcraft sex. You didn't know that you had witchcraft sex. We'll talk about that later. That's when you wake up and go, who the hell is that? And how did I end up here? Have any of you ever done that? Oh, shut up. Raise your hands if you've ever done that. I have. Both hands, both feet are up many times. You are good. Like, how the heck did that happen? Right? How did I end up here? Okay. Anyway, so inside of this thing, it says this, that if a spirit comes out of control, if you cannot control a spirit, just use the name Jesus. So even those that practice satanic worship, they know the power of the name of Yeshua. They know the power of it, and yet the ones sitting in church every Sunday do not, nor use it where it's supposed to be used, to take authority over the principalities of darkness. But those who practice witchcraft, it's a code. If a spirit gets out of control, just use the name of Jesus. That's amazing. So a spirit leaves a man. It goes and looks for another place to inhabit. If it does not find another place to go, it then comes back. That's what this just said. Word for word. It comes back and sees if the house is swept clean. There's nothing there. It then re-enters the man and brings seven more demons with it. And the condition of the man is much worse than was at first. That's verbatim almost what this just said, right? When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied. Unoccupied, swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go and they live there. The final condition of that man is worse than the first. This is how it will be of this evil generation. What? That shows that there's personal responsibility if you have deliverance. That if you drive a spirit out of you, like the spirit of addiction or the spirit of greed. Let's say greed. You drive the spirit of greed out of you, which is a spirit. You drive greed out and you continue to go shop till you drop. You continue in your habits, even though now you are aware. If you drive sexual immorality out of you, and you go and choose to sleep around, what have you just done? You reopened, and not only have you invited the same one that just left, what will you do? Seven more. More evil than the one that left. I've seen this happen. I literally have seen this happen. I literally have seen this happen. So what does that mean? There's going to be some habits that you're going to have to change, number one. Number two, it says it comes back to the house to see it unoccupied. What does that mean, unoccupied? What did you say? That means, in his opinion, that Christ isn't dwelling there. But see, Christ was dwelling in me when I had all kinds of demons in me. I totally accepted that and believed it to be true. I preached the gospel at that time. I had led about 1,000 people to Christ, and I was infested with demons. Crazy, huh? Very crazy. It is. So what I will tell you is that you're personally responsible for your heart. Swept clean, nothing there. What does that look like? If I were to tell you that I know exactly, I'd be lying to you. But what I can tell you is how I have guarded my heart, which the Bible says to do, to guard your heart, to test the spirits, to hold every thought captive. Wherever there is a void, what is there? A vacuum. Where there's a void, there is a vacuum. So tonight, when we're all done with this, you're going to have a time of replenishing. You're going to learn how to replenish yourself. You're going to learn to invite the right spirit into you, the spirit of the living God. You're going to learn to choose the right words to receive. This entire weekend, you're going to be learning how to hear words from the mouth of the enemy and words from your Father. The words of the Father of lies and the words of the Father of truth. So tonight is your personal responsibility that if you're going to say, I'm done with fear, come out of me now and go back to hell where you belong. If that's what you're going to say tonight, that you want fear gone and you want it gone forever, you stand against that. Then it's this, leaving here tonight, you're holding every thought captive. And when fear tries to come back, because guess what this tells us? That fear will come knocking again. Perversion will try again. Greed will try again. Being a workaholic will try again. What is our job? What's our job? To guard our heart and say, no, not today, Satan. Not today. Not any day. It's to hold every thought captive. To be alert, because your enemy, the devil, it says, is doing what? Seeking, prowling around like a lion, looking for someone to what? Devour. Something beautiful happens once you be when you've been delivered of something. You now have eyes to see what's there. You see, I was in complete deception. I followed Christ. I prayed 3-4 hours a day, read my Bible. Do you understand? Worship, led Bible studies, prayed for the sick. Are you hearing me? I did all those things, and I was infested, and I didn't know it. I never confessed the thoughts I was having to anybody. I never sought help from anybody about suicide or perversion or depression. And why? I was afraid of being rejected by my pastor or by other Christian friends. So I did not confess. Hans didn't know. He knew I was depressed, but he didn't know I had these perverted thoughts in my head all the time. He had no clue. He saved my life, so he knew I had been suicidal, but he didn't know what was going through my head. So I stayed a prisoner out of fear of being rejected. Yeah. And that's a door opener, by the way. Wow. Yeah. Fear opens the door to the spirit of fear. Next, Matthew 16:23.
But he turned and said to Kepha, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for your thoughts are not those of Elohim, but those of men."
Wow. That's Matthew 16:23. Kepha is Aramaic and Hebrew for Peter. "Get behind me, Satan." Wait a second. Wait. Peter was a what? He was a disciple. How could the disciple who followed him for 3 years have a demon? Da, da, da. Next. John 13:27. John 13:27. That's okay, baby. I'm saying it again for all the people going to ask me to say it again. You're welcome. John 13:27.
"And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly."
Wow, so this was Judas, who was a what? Disciple. Followed Jesus for how long? 3 solid committed years, praying with him, breaking bread with him, watching all the miracles. Oh, wait, they casted out demons too. And as soon as they had communion, no, as soon as they broke bread, Satan entered him. Well, did Judas confess Jesus as the Messiah? Oh, yes, he did. And Satan entered him. Did Peter confess Jesus as the Messiah? Oh, yes, he did. It's recorded. Who do you say I am? You're the Messiah. Yes. Sorry. Acts 5:3. Acts 5:3. Go.
Okay.
That's you.
No, it's me. I was just
That's you.
Having fun.
That's Acts 5:3.
"But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land?"
Wow. Ananias was a believer. Ananias was a believer, another believer that Satan entered. I'm so sorry, Foursquare Church believers. Whoever started that denomination obviously didn't read the whole book. Because those are pretty clear. Very, very clear. Who's next? Is it Numbers? Do you have Numbers? You have numbers. Go.
Numbers what?
14:18-19. Numbers 14:18-19. Numbers 14:18-19. Numbers. Chapter 14, verse 18-19. Did you get it? Go.
The Lord is long-suffering and slow to anger, and abundant in mercy and loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I pray you, the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your mercy and loving kindness, just as you have forgiven them from Egypt until now.
Amen. So, yes, the guilty will not go unpunished, but how are you cleansed of your guilt? Confession. By our confession, we are abstained from our guilt. That which is unconfessed, we are guilty of. That which we do confess, we are what? Free. Totally free from. Can someone turn to Galatians 5:1? Let him do it.
It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery.
Amen. Yeshua came to set us free. Free indeed. That's why he came. To set us free. He shows the path to freedom. Ego takes us to bondage. Yeshua takes us to freedom. Ego will not confess. Ego tries to hide. Ego is deceived. Arrogant. Christ, the ultimate of humility. That if we choose to believe and we confess, then we get to be free. So that choice simply is yours. Give these guys a hand as they head back to their seats. Thank you so much. So friends, this is basically how it works. Earlier today, you learned that you have had seed planted in you. Your life has shown the fruit of that seed. You've repeated some of this stuff again and again and again. How many of you have had a lot of repeats of patterns that you do not want? You have been in a battle, maybe not even realizing that you're in a battle. And I want to give you the process, if you will, for freedom. Number one is recognizing the fruit. You did that today. How many of you did that today? You recognized the fruit, you saw it, right? So your eyes are no longer deceived because I can see that this is fruit in my life. What ego tries to do and what the enemy tempts us to do is that we want to hide that stuff. We don't want anyone to know. So therefore, that stuff stays unconfessed, doesn't it? Yeah. Right? And then the other thing is that we defend our sin. We defend our actions. We defend or we justify. Well, they hurt me first. That's why I hurt them back. So we either justify or defend, which is still doing what? It's still hiding. Exactly right. So it's still keeping us in hiding. Because we are either defending it or justifying it. How many of you have defended or justified? Which means that we have not owned our sin, we have not confessed it. So the more and more we keep screwing this up, and the more and more we defend it, and more we justify it, the more and more it's growing inside of us. And this thing just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until it begins to control us. And now we have lost control of ourselves. We've lost self-control. But now something has power over us. And why? Because we gave permission to it to control us. Let me say this really quick. A thought that runs through your head is not sin. Temptation is not sin. Acting on it is. And the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And Yeshua came for us to have life. And we have life through the forgiveness of sin. So if a thought hits your head, you can let that thought just travel right out. I'm so sorry, not today. I'm not partaking in that. But when we are thinking without thinking, pretty soon now we start to dwell on that thing. Pretty soon we start to entertain that thing. Pretty soon we start to want to touch that thing. Pretty soon we've got to have that thing. Pretty soon we give ourselves over to that thing. And then we lie, defend, or justify. I didn't do that. That never happened. That's not me. Thank God that's not me. And then we get to a point where we are completely deceived and we can't even see the error of our own ways. Our heart has become so hardened that we do not have any remorse for the things we have done. That is where the legal right comes in. That now we've given ourselves over to the Father of lies because we actually spend more time with him than we do with the Father of truth. We actually spend more time listening to him than we do listening to the Father of truth. And now we have this really cool device in our pocket where words have been able to talk to us all the time. Seduction, lust, seduction for more greed, more stuff, the seduction into materialism, the seduction into more spending. It's easy. One click, buy now, swipe. It's only $7. It's really simple. Where are you spending your time? Who are you spending your time listening to? Who are you submitting yourself to? So number one, you got to see it. How many of you saw some of your fruit today? Number two, you own it. Forgive me. Forgive me, Father. I screwed that up. I messed this up. I'm so sorry. Forgive me for and confess it. Then, if this is an issue of torment, if this is an issue where you've been pounded, there's a spirit there. If it is, I screwed up, please forgive me, it's over, it's done, no problem. But when you've been entertaining the same thing over and over again, now it has found a home to live in. Do you understand? Because you're feeding it. That which is in darkness. What grows in darkness? Huh? Mold. Mold grows in darkness, and mold will what? Kill you. Sin grows in darkness. And the wages of sin is? The wages of sin is? So that which you allow to come into the light. It's in the light where you find freedom. It's in the light. So my goal with all of us is we become avid confessors. And we don't allow anything to grow in darkness. But that we come into the light. Why? Because we're safe in the light. That's where there's freedom, is in the light. You see, our terrible modern Christianity has positioned us to be perfect. Sinless. But perfect, Hebrew, meaning-wise, means to be complete, which means to be at peace. Complete, lacking nothing. content, complete, lacking nothing. But in our modern Christian theological caucus, it means I'm sinless. No. Our Father in heaven never once had an expectation, in my understanding of reading the Bible cover to cover 14 times, has never had an understanding of us being sinless. Right. Never. And the proof is, he always makes a way out for us. Every year, Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, what is that? Those are days of repentance. Every week and every day, there were sacrifices at the temple for what? For our sins. Why? Because he knew we would daily. And honestly, he wasn't the one that needed it. He knew we did. For our freedom's sake. For our freedom's sake. That we would be free. That we would walk into the light. That we would walk in humility. Gave us a way for the forgiveness of our sins. He loves you regardless of how filthy you are. The question is, do you? Because if you love you the way he loves you, you wouldn't hide. You wouldn't hide. You would know that you are loved no matter what. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to leave the room right now. We're going to call it a bathroom break. Because tonight, I'm going to show you how to rid yourself of any spirit that could be tormenting you. I'm going to show you how to drive it out of you, that you don't need anyone else around you, that between you and your Father in heaven, who sent his Holy Spirit to be with you, that by the confession of your mouth, you have total power and authority over your own soul. By your tongue, you have invited things into you, and it's by your tongue that you will drive these things out of you. Do you understand? So this morning, I taught you how to evaluate. Why do I feel this way? This was the searching of your thoughts. This was the testing of your heart. Where did this come from? Who was there? Forgiveness, confession. Now, Father, I have forgiven them. Forgive me for my bitterness and my resentment. And right now, I bind that spirit of bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness in which I have created a home for inside of me. Do you realize how many of you have been resentful towards someone or something? Okay. Do you know what that is? That's a spirit. We know you at least got one. I got one thing to say to you. Better out than in. Kind of like parasites. Better out than in. Better out than in. Because if you harbor resentment and bitterness, this is rebellion, which is the practice of witchcraft. You harbor it. What does the Bible say? Let me show you something. You know there are two unforgivable sins in the Bible? There are two. One is, the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. Dishonor and disrespect of the Holy Spirit. Number two is unforgiveness. Yeshua said it crystal clear. If you will not forgive your brother who has sinned against you, then I will not forgive you before the Father. That's a big sucker.
Right. Huge.
That's a huge sucker. And yet we are bitter towards our spouses. We're bitter towards our kids. We're bitter towards our boss. We're bitter towards the president. Are you hearing me? We're bitter towards all of these things that have happened. We're bitter towards our parents. We're bitter towards our siblings. We're bitter towards our cousin. We're bitter towards our uncle who molested us. And yet that right there is what? An unforgivable sin. So it's time to clean house. You with me? It's time to clean house. It's time to clean house. It's time to clean house. So I'm going to walk you through the process. You can do this process every day if you want to. You can do this process once a week if you want to. You can get together and do this process with somebody else that's in this room if you want to. You could do this process all by yourself if you want to. You could do this process through a journal, writing it out. It is a powerful tool that has kept me alive and has helped me walk in my freedom of no heart problem, no suicide. Hello? To not have a suicide attempt since 2001 is a miracle. For the first 30 some odd years of my life, I tried and failed, thankfully. But today I know I am loved and I am free. Okay? So we're going to give you a chance to leave the room. That if this is just, you know, Danny, this is where we're going to part ways. I love you, babe, but this is not for me. I love you too, and I totally understand, and that this might be a little too overwhelming for you. And so you have a really good night and get some good rest, and we'll see you at 9:30 in the morning. But for the rest of you, you're going to pee, you're going to wash your hands, you're going to come back. I'm going to walk you through the process. You need to stay for the entire process so that when we make sure and have everything refilled inside of your spirit before you leave. 15-minute pee break. Have fun.
Your praise will
Hey, folks, we are just 2 minutes away from what might be the biggest breakthrough of your life. So please start moving back to your seats at this time. All right, if you can hear the sound of my voice, you are loved, and you just need to know it. Now please say, shh, and please move quickly back to your seats.
Okay, all you brave souls. Want to be free. Amen. There's a song that we wrote about that. Yes, we want to be free. We were born to be free. Amen. That's the truth right there. We were born for it. We were not born for bondage. As I was praying for all of us this weekend, leading into the weekend, there were some very specific things that I kind of sensed in my spirit that needed to be dealt with, and one of them was neglect. That's the very first time I've ever felt that one in my spirit, ever. It was very, very pronounced, very loud and clear. Neglect is a big dog coming down today. Big dog. And it's a serious curse that's being passed down to the next generation right now. It's a very scary thing, because the implications are really bad. Okay, forget that idea. Okay, so I have a short list, and
So remember earlier we were telling you that it's by your words, right? The Bible says... Thank you. The Bible says that by our words we are healed or we're acquitted or condemned. By our words we are either acquitted or condemned. Tonight you're going to be acquitted. You're going to be acquitted by your words. So I'm going to just open us with prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you are unfailing. Thank you that there is no one like you. Thank you for this Shabbat. Thank you for this opportunity for us to lay our hearts and our minds before you. Father, we surrender. Father, I pray that tonight you move the way you move. Yeah. So right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua, HaMashiach, that is Jesus the Messiah, I take authority over this room and the four corners of this property, for the word of the living God is true. That which we bind on earth is bound in heaven. That which we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. I bind right now in the mighty name of Yeshua, the spirit of witchcraft. You have no legal right in this place. I bind in the name of Yeshua, the spirit of confusion. I break the spirit of lies and deception. I paralyze all the voices and I come against the spirit of religion that has bound too many people for too long and has bound people away from the living God versus bringing them people in. I break and I bind right now the liar, the deceiver, the father of lies. You are paralyzed right now. You have no path, no authority, no right in this room. And you will not keep the children of the living God away from him any longer from this day forth. We loosen and release from the heavens the spirit of the living God. And we invite you in this place. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come. Holy Spirit, come and be with us right here, right now. Thank you, Father. And I declare that this place right here, underneath our feet, being holy ground, that it's not by chance, it's not a coincidence that this hotel is owned by a Jew who has taken care of this city, a Jew who has built schools here, a Jew who has taken care of the poor here, a Jew who has built homes for the poor in this country and abroad. That this man is blessed in this place. So we bless this seed of Abraham. We bless this property. And we also receive the blessing of Abraham that is in this property. That this property and all of his properties are completely debt free. We ask for that same blessing, Father. You bless this man who is the seed of Abraham. And you said that any of us who believe in Yeshua, who are not of the bloodline of Abraham, are now adopted into the bloodline of Abraham. And so, Father, we ask the same exact blessing that you put upon this man who followed your ways, who kept your commandments, and you bless him, that he is not the lender. I mean, he is not the borrower, but that he is the lender and that he's done rightly and honored your Torah. Father, I pray that the same thing happens to us and that same blessing by us being just in the midst of this miraculous hotel and the miraculous story of the 78-year-old man with a six-pack on his belly who swims an hour every single day, who is giving, who is taking the soap that is in this hotel that gets unused, cleans it up and brings it down to the poor. That he's feeding the poor, he's cleansing the poor, he's providing for the poor, he's educating the poor. Father, that same heart and mind that you gave him, I pray that you give that to us. And God, all the blessing that is in this place, I thank you for the protection that's inside of this hotel. I thank you for your blessing that is evident in this hotel. I thank you that this place has already been set apart before we even got here by a set apart people. And Father, I pray that these set apart people that are sitting here in this room that I have the privilege to be here with, Father, that you set us apart together for your work, for your plan, for your glory. Yeah. Yeah. Father, I pray that your spirit of forgiveness falls on us right now, that you open up the heavens and you allow your rest to come into us, and that you move out of us what needs to be moved, and you move into us that which needs to be moved. If any of you were neglected as a child, can you please stand up? Wow. Wow. You felt replaced by either your parents' work or the television. Replaced by multiple relationships that they had. Replaced. Just repeat this after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I'm before you now as your child, and you know everything there is to know about me. And you know my perception of my childhood and that I felt neglected, uncared for, not watched over. This has been tucked deep inside of my heart for a really long time. And I have acted out in many different forms in response to this neglect. Whether it's trying to get somebody else's attention, feeling like I'm not heard, trying to prove that I'm worthy. Trying to show that I matter. And yet still being afraid that I'm going to be alone, not watched over, unprotected, uncared for. Forgive me for clinging to this lie, because you have watched over me my entire life. You have cared for me my entire life. You have fed me my entire life. You have loved me, looked at me with a special twinkle in your eye. You have been pleased with me, even in my mistakes, even in the secret things I've done. You have still loved me. So forgive me for setting up a lie and calling it a truth. Forgive me for believing in it so strongly that I have driven myself and other people nearly crazy trying to prove that I'm worth paying attention to. Forgive me for the money I've wasted in trying to show myself worthy. And forgive me for doing the same thing to others, that I have neglected relationships, responsibilities. I've kept myself at a distance from those that I should be intimate with.
I've worked myself harder than I should. And at times, not enough. Forgive me for the distractions that I've put in front of my face, like a phone, entertainment, or business opportunities. All in the answer to this neglect. So right now, in the name of Yeshua, I receive this forgiveness for believing that I have been outcasted, neglected, and unworthy. I receive forgiveness in the place of that lie. So right now, I take authority over my own soul, over my mind and my heart. As Yeshua gave me the keys to the kingdom of heaven, that which I bind on earth is bound in heaven. Loosed on earth, loosed in heaven. I have those keys. And with those keys, I take authority over the evil one. Right now, spirit of neglect, worthlessness, self-hate, self-rejection, fear of rejection, fear of abandonment. In the name of Yeshua, I command you right now to get out of my body. Right now, get out of my body. I command you out right now in the name of Yeshua. I have no need for you. I break your powers off of me. Take your power off of my hands, out of my heart, off of my feet. I command you off, out. Go to the pit of hell where you belong. You no longer have authority over me. You no longer have a right over me. I tear up every legal right that you had against me and against my family. Take your hands off of my work life, off of my home, off of my relationships. I have no need of you any longer. I hate you with a holy hate. And I am done playing with you. I'm done housing you. You are no longer welcome. Yes. Thank you, Father. Yes. Okay, some of you feel something stirring inside of you. Just say go. Go right now. Go. Just get out right now in Jesus' name. I'm finished with you. I break the ties. I break the ties right now. You have no authority. You are not needed any longer in my life. I command you out of my belly. Come out of my belly right now. Come out of my belly right now. You have taken me to places I should not go. You have taken me to touch things I should not touch. You have also kept me from touching things I should not touch. Leave me now. Yes. Thank you, Father. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. So we're going to go here. Say spirit of abandonment. I have no use for you. I bind your powers right now. You are a liar sent by the father of lies. Go to hell where you belong. You are cursed and not welcome. Spirit of rejection, I bind your powers. You take your hands off of my life, off of my children's children's children, off of my marriage relationship. I break your powers off of my marriage. rejection, you are evil. Yes. Rejection, go to hell. Yes. Rejection, take your hands off of my bank account. Off of my work life. Everyone I work with. Every single place you have tied me to. I break those ties right now in Jesus' name. Yes. 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 It all goes right now. It all comes out. Every ounce of you. Right now, I break in the name of Yeshua every generational curse of rejection. Every generational curse of rejection that is in this place, I command you back to the pit of hell where you belong. You are not allowed in this family, not another day. You are not allowed in Jesus' name. Rejection, go. Rejection, go. Abandonment, go in Jesus' name. You are cursed. You are broken. You are paralyzed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That's the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah who walked on this earth 2,000 years ago, that is alive and well in this place. Yes, right now, it all goes. It all goes. I bring the fire, the hot coals of fire right now on every single soul that has rejection in it. Every single soul right now. Rejection, you must go. Rejection, you must go right now in Jesus' name. Yes. 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 That's awesome. Oh, spirit of abandonment, say this. Ooh, you have broken me up from a lot of people. You have spoken right from my mouth. You have accused others from my mouth. You have broken business deals. Financial deals. You have led me to see false things about other people. Mm-hmm. Yep. So spirit of abandonment, I'm putting you on notice right now. Because you need to listen to this. Father, forgive me for the words I have spoken against other people. The assumptions I have made, the accusations that have left my tongue, the accusations I've made against people I love, the accusations I've made even against my family. If you're married to a woman, the accusations I made against my wife, and wives, the accusations I made against my husband, they are false. And I command right now for that seed I have planted through the accuser of the brethren, speaking through my mouth, using my tongue to destroy my relationships. I break right now every word curse in which I have spoken. Every single word curse that has left my mouth against another person. I break every single word in the name of Yeshua. So spirit of abandonment, you heard me, buddy. You're done. I break your powers. I command you to come out of me right now and go back to hell where you belong. Spirit of abandonment, take your hands off of my finances, off of my physical body. I have no use for you any longer. Spirit of abandonment, you're done. It's over. Our friendship is gone. Go find something else to do. Because I cancel the contract I have with you. I cancel every agreement I've made with you. Every single time I have said, I deserve to be left alone. I break those words. Every single time I've said, I knew they would screw me over. I knew they would hurt me. Those words are canceled in Jesus' name. So right now, take your hands off of my hands, off of my eyes, off of my ears, my feet. You have no authority over my physical body any longer. Yes. It all goes right now. It all goes right now. I command the fire from heaven, the fire of the Holy Spirit deep inside of every soul that has housed the spirit of abandonment, the spirit of rejection. Every single soul that is housed, that is entertained, that is fed, these lying spirits, the fire of the Holy Spirit, go now deep inside and rid right now the spirit of abandonment. Yes. I break every single tie right now to the spirit of abandonment. Every tie broken. It is broken. The silver cord is broken. We will not birth and rebirth the spirit of abandonment to the next generation. Yes. Let's go here. Say, Father, please forgive me on behalf of my father and his father and his father before me and him all the way back to Adam. For abandoning children. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes. I break the generational curse of abandonment off of me and off of my seed. Yes. Yes. I come against the spirit of anti-intimacy right now in the name of Yeshua. I come against the spirit of anti-intimacy right now. Right now, I bind and I break anti-intimacy, a fear of intimacy right now. I break that power. I see you. You are a lying pig. You have no right, no authority here any longer. These sins have been confessed. Abandonment, you take intimacy, the anti-intimacy, you take it with you right now in the name of Yeshua. Right now in the name of Yeshua. Spirit of anti-intimacy, the rejection of intimacy right now. Right now, I come against you. I come against you right now in the name of Yeshua. You are broken. You are broken. You are broken. You are broken right now. The fire of the living God coming against you, you spirit, you lying devil who has rejected intimacy. First, intimacy with the father, intimacy with the spouse, intimacy with the children, intimacy in relationships. Come on, say this with me right now. Say, anti-intimacy, come out of me now. Come out of me now. Go, 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 go. Come out right now. Yes. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Ooh. I break it right now off of the sexual organs right now. I break off anti-intimacy off of all sexual organs right now in the name of Yeshua. I come against that right now in the name of Yeshua. Right now off of all the sexual organs. All the organs that are on the women, all the organs on the men right now, I break it off in the name of Yeshua. Spiritual intimacy. Yes, spiritual intimacy right now. We impart that into these people. We right now, it comes out. It all comes out right now off of the organs, off of the sex drive even. Anti-intimacy comes off of the sex drive, off of the mind. Yes, my gosh, what a block, man. What a block. Yes, I break it off of the mind. Come on, come with me. Say, anti-intimacy, come out of my mind. Come out of my mind. I break you off of my mind. I break you off of my hands. I break you off of my heart. Oh, I break you off of my mouth. Yes. Awesome. Yes. Yes. Here we go. Fear of intimacy. This is awesome. Fear of intimacy. Say, Father, forgive me, for I have fed the fear of intimacy. I have fed it. Big juicy steaks, long conversations, big giant stories. Ooh, boy. Father, forgive me, because that's not who you are. You're an intimate God. You're an intimate lover of my soul. And I have fed a spirit that is not of you. I receive forgiveness for feeding a lie. That intimacy is scary. I have fed a lie that intimacy is wrong, that it's going to get me hurt, that it's going to be painful. I have fed this lie. Father, I receive your forgiveness for selling this lie to myself and to others. Forgive me for not giving my whole heart to you and not giving my whole heart to my family and to the places I'm supposed to give it. Forgive me for walking in this life half-heartedly. Thank you, Father. Yes. Forgive me for my half-hearted commitment to you, to walking with you, to being intimate with you, for my half-hearted commitment with prayer and seeking you first in your kingdom. My half-hearted commitment in my finances. My half-hearted commitment in believing your word. Forgive me for my whole-hearted commitment in believing that I'm not lovable. And my desire to be intimate with inanimate objects. Like money, cell phones. Yeah. Work. Wow. So fear of intimacy. I know you just heard the confession of my mouth before my true Father, who has loved me before the beginning of the foundations of the world began, even in my unfaithfulness and my half-hearted commitment to him. He has still longed for intimacy with me. So spirit of fear of intimacy, I break your powers right now. I bind you. I break you. I paralyze you. And I command you to leave my body now. Leave my hands. Oh, yes. Leave my eyes. Come out of my soul. Take your hands off of my feet. You will not stop me from running to my Father and clinging intimately to him. You will no longer stop me from clinging into my marriage relationship or the relationship with my children. And those of you who are single, I want you to say it as though you are married and you already have children. Because do you understand me? You are already. It is about to come to pass. The children have already been spoken by your Father in heaven. Your wife or your husband has already been spoken by your Father in heaven. Speak it as though it is already. And break the curse before you ever come into union with it. So speak it as though it is already. So spirit of fear of intimacy, I am done with you. I no longer need you. You are no longer my close and personal friend. You are no longer a contact in my phone. I am no longer going to engage in conversation with you, you freaking liar. I command you to go to hell. I break you off of my ears. I will not listen to you. I will not entertain your voice. Not another moment. Not another day. Not another year. You have robbed me for too long, and it is time for you to go to your resting place, which is hell. Go now. Yes. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Yeah. Yes.
I want everyone to stand for this one. Father, forgive me. For entertaining other lovers, other gods, that I have put other gods before you. The god of money, lust, seduction, and addiction. Forgive me, Father, for I've spent more time with my cell phone. I've spent more time with social media than I've spent with you. Trash can. Forgive me, Father. Eyes over here. Forgive me, Father, for the sin of idolatry. I've committed adultery against you. I have lusted after Baal, the fertility god, and I have lusted after Ashtoreth, the fertility goddess, far too long. I have wanted more, 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 more. Again and again and again, and I've not been satisfied. I'm sorry that I've turned to other lovers to find satisfaction. Forgive me for the addictions to food. Forgive me for no self-control with lust, the lust of the flesh, the lust for material things, the lust for fame, the lust for recognition, and the lust for more. Teach me, as your child, how I'm to live. So right now, in the name of Yeshua, I come against the spirit of idolatry, the love of other gods. I come against the spirit of adultery, and I break the power of idolatry and adultery off of my life. I break the power of greed off of my life. Spirit of greed, do you hear me? You are a liar. You are an evil one. You have tempted, and I have bowed down to you. I have listened to you far too long. You've robbed me of joy, robbed me of satisfaction, satisfaction I am to have in my life, fulfillment that I am to have in my life by the ever dangling carrot of more. Father, forgive me for not being satisfied with my form, picking myself apart, judging myself, condemning myself, telling myself that I'm not enough. I will never be enough. Father, forgive me for cursing myself and cursing the way I've been made, for self-condemnation, self-criticism. Yes. 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 So I take authority over my heart, my body, my soul, my mind. And I break the spirit of greed, gluttony, idolatry, and adultery off of every body part that I have. Father, forgive me for rebellion, which is witchcraft, for playing with witchcraft, entertaining witchcraft, for insubordination. Yes. Insubordination first against you. Abandoning you. Forgetting to talk to you. Or treating you like you're a task. Spirit of greed, I break you off of my work life. I break you off of my bank account. I break you off of my debt. I break you off of my fingertips that click at Descartes too quick. Stay right there. I'm going to pray. Father, I come against that spirit of greed and idolatry and adultery. Yes. I ask for the hot coals of fire straight from your basin in the heavens to come now. Come now into the bellies, the deep wells where idolatry root you out. I root you out right now. Say, I ask for forgiveness on behalf of my Father and his Father before him and the one before him all the way back to Adam for the sin of greed, idolatry, and adultery, the lust of the flesh, the lust of materialism, and the lust for power. And I break the generational curse off of my family and my bloodline being driven by these things. And I ask for forgiveness on behalf of my mother and her mother's mother, all the way back to Eve, for the sin of greed, idolatry, adultery, lust of the flesh, lust for materialism. I break it off right now in the name of Yeshua. Yes. I cancel the curse, the generational curse. I cancel the curse right now. I cancel the curse right now in the name of Yeshua. I cancel the curse right now in the name of Yeshua. I break the curse right now in the name of Yeshua. I break the curse right now in the name of Yeshua. Broken, broken, the blood of Yeshua. The Dama Ve Yeshua right now. Dama Ve Yeshua. Yeshua right now. Dame ve Yeshua right now. The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood right now. Roots it out. I break it. I break. I sever the cords right now. Every single tie right now. Every tie to greed. Every tie to idolatry. Every tie right now in the name of Yeshua. Broken, broken, broken. Come on, all of you, say right now, come out of me right now. Come out right now. Come out. It all goes. It all goes. No residue left. It all goes. It all goes. It all goes right now. None left. None left. Broken. 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 Yes. 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 Thank you, Father. Spirit of addiction. You have beat me up, controlled me, abused me, have left me bloody, and those around me bloodied. I break addiction to work. Wait, Father, forgive me for every addiction. The addiction to my phone. The addiction to wanting to be known. The addiction of feeling important and feeding myself with it. You know what your addictions are. Confess them now. You know what to say. You know what to say. If you have a porn addiction, ask him to forgive you. Remember, come into the light. Come into the light. He is safe. He is loving. He is kind. Remember, he's rich in mercy, slow to anger, gracious and compassionate. He already knows what your addiction is. He already knows what it is, and he loves you exactly the same. He knows. If you're addicted to fear, food, money, sex, Father, right now in the name of Yeshua, I pray that you open every single eye. Open the eyes of our own soul that we will be able to see what it is that you see, but they will see it with the same love that you see it with. That we'll not see it with condemnation, but we will see it with the conviction that we agree with you that these things must change. Father, I loosen every tongue in this place to confess every single one of these addictions, even the addiction to self-hate, self-harm. Yes, self-hate and self-harm right now. Father, I pray that you open the eyes of our heart, that we will see what you see in the way that you see it. That you say, come my child and be free. Come into my light and be free. Come into my light and be free. Yes. And if you think you might be, confess it anyway. Right? If you think there might be a chance, confess it anyway. I can't hear you. Say it. I don't know what you're addicted to. You do. What have you tied yourself to? What do you think about more than you should think about? What is the reigning thoughts and processes in your head that you can't get out of your head, that you think about in the night, that you dream about at night? Are you listening to what I'm saying? It robs you of sleep. It's the thing that's going through your head when your kid is trying to tell you a story. It's the thing that goes through your head when your spouse is trying to talk to you about something important and you can't connect. Yes. As you confess it, now you can be free. Ooh, 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 ooh. False religion. And I'm not talking about a cult. I'm talking about a pharisaical spirit. You know what that is? Yeah. That pharisaical spirit is actually your God versus the one true God. The Pharisee, the law keeper, using the Bible to beat people up, using this to point out that somebody else is wrong and someone's off track, using this as a sword against the brethren instead of a sword against the enemy. Self-righteousness is a pharisaical spirit. The Pharisee is the one that can act holy in front of other people, but in darkness is not holy. Is filled with judgment. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Filled with judgment, filled with dishonor, filled with disrespect. Okay? Confess it. Awesome. Yeah. So, in the name of Yeshua, I come against the spirit of addiction. Spirit of addiction, you heard my confession before my Father. I made sure you heard it, you lying pig. I command that you leave my body right now. Spirit of addiction, I am done with you. I have no need for you. You are null and void. You are paralyzed. I command you to go back to hell where you belong. You are not needed here any longer, and you will not touch my children. You will not touch my marriage. Spirit of addiction, I hate you with a holy hate. Spirit of addiction, I break my ties right now with you. Every agreement I've made with you, every single time I've played with you, every single time I've entertained you, talked to you, every single time I've used you to beat other people up and to point the finger. Right now, I also confess my spirit of judgment, wicked, wicked, lying spirit of judgment. I break your powers right now, and I have no use for you any longer. I break the spirit of religion off of me and a Pharisee. I break the Pharisee spirit off of me right now. I break self-righteousness off of me right now. Self-righteousness, you are a liar. You are a false god. I have no use for you. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Father. Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yeah, it all goes right now. Spirit of addiction, you are not going to lay around. Spirit addiction, you come out, you come out, you come out right now in Jesus' name. That is the name of Yeshua, the Savior. Come out, come out, come out right now. Come out. I ask every nest to come out right now. Spirit of addiction, you are not welcome. You're not wanted. Addiction to pornography, addiction to work, addiction to the kingdom of self, addiction to phones, addiction to social media, addiction to drugs, addiction to meth, cocaine, addiction to weed, addiction to pharmaceuticals, addiction to painkillers, addiction to food. I bind and I break all those addictions I've just mentioned. I come against the spirit of the addiction of alcohol, all forms of alcohol, the secret hiding places that we have, the drugs, the alcohol, the phones, the pornography, all the secret places. It all comes out right now. All secret places are coming out. All are exposed right this minute. You no longer are in darkness. You are in the light, and we command you go back to the pit of hell where you belong. Say this: you don't belong in me. You belong in hell. You were not made for me. You were made for hell. So go home. Amen. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. That's the sound of deliverance. Yes. 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 Worry, fear, and anxiety. How many of you play with these guys? How many of you have made them like your close personal friends? Okay, you ready? Let's go to town. Father, forgive me. How dare I be anxious about anything? You're the living God. You rule the universe. And you're my papa, my daddy. Who am I to worry about anything? Forgive me for not trusting you, for not trusting your ways, for not trusting your timing. Forgive me for taking things into my own hands as though I know better. I'm just a kid, and I'm sorry. I've dishonored you. I've spit in your face. I've said with my worry and anxiety that you're too slow and that you don't know what's best. And I am wrong. I receive your forgiveness for my lack of trust. Forgive me for giving up my childlike faith and exchanging it for fear, worry, and anxiety. I'm done playing with those guys. They're not very fun. I've been beat up for too long. Thank you for forgiving me. And I forgive myself for anxiety. Anxiety attacks, panic attacks, worrying night and day. Spirit of worry, anxiety, and fear. We're done. I'm breaking up with you. We're done. I have no use for you. I command you in the name of Yeshua that has all authority in that name. You know that name, sucker. You know that name means you're done. That name defeated you. My Savior, my Messiah defeated you. So I break you off. My finances, my relationship, off of my work life, off of my timeline, my schedule, other people's schedules. I command you out of my body right now. I command you off of my eyes, my ears, my hands, my feet, out of my heart, out of my belly, the very place where you dwell. I break you off right now, and I command you to come out of me right this minute. Go to hell where you belong. Right now, I break you. I break you. You are paralyzed. I break the covenant I've made with you, the entertainment I've had with you, the conversations I've had with you, the words I've spoken from my mouth, the confession of my mouth that has said, I'm afraid that, I break that phrase off of my tongue. I cancel that assignment right now in the name of Yeshua. Yes. Okay, everybody sit down. You're going to have a chance to stand up here in a minute, and then we're going to be done. Yes. This will be a test of humility versus pride. If you've been here before and you've taken care of this issue, you don't need to stand. But if you have been here before and you haven't taken care of this issue, then you will stand. And if this is your first time and you haven't taken care of this issue, you will stand. Sex out of marriage is fornication. It's actually a sin against God and against yourself. It's the mixing of blood and the mixing of seed outside of the blessing of marriage. I slept with 100 people. Not slept with. I had sex with. I didn't sleep with them. I had sex with 100 people in a very short period of time. Scientifically, they have proven that every person you sleep with, that a part of you is in that person, and that person is in you. That's a soul tie. Your soul is tied to them. So a part of you have been fragmented and is with somebody else. And a part of them is in you. We're going to break those soul ties. We're going to confess our sin of fornication. Sex out of marriage produces sex out of marriage, even after you got married. No joke. It doesn't just stop. It's a habit, and it's a lustful draw, because once you've given yourself over to fornication, it draws you into more. Yeshua said that even if you look upon a woman with lust in your heart, you have committed adultery with her already. Most of us are guilty of this in today's world. What I want you to walk in is freedom, not guilt, not shame. Shame is the driver to addiction, by the way. Shame is the driver to addictions. One of the biggest causes for shame is this right here, sexual sin. And we don't even recognize it because it's so socially acceptable. So I want to give you the opportunity to stand before your God, confess who you've slept with, even who you've lusted with, fantasized about. Confess it and be healed. We're going to break the soul ties. We're going to get your soul back to you and their soul back to them. Because how many of you do not want to carry somebody else with you for the rest of your life? It's not your spouse. I highly don't recommend that you do. So stand up if you know you have walked in this, if you have already taken care of it. You don't need to stand. If you want to take care of it, stand. You are not alone, is what I'm telling you. And by the way, most of the people are sitting. It's because they've done this already with us. Pretty much the entire room would be standing. There's maybe, I don't know, 10 virgins that were virgins when they got married and stayed virgins to only and stayed pure before their spouse and only their spouse. There might be 10 people in this whole room. Shocking. Maybe 15. Tops. So, it's a real simple prayer. And those of you that are sitting, you could be praying for them. So just say this, Heavenly Father, please forgive me. You know exactly where I've messed this one up. And I justified my actions. I didn't even care. Please forgive me for not honoring you with my body. You created me as a holy being, a set apart human, set apart for you and by you, and you set me apart for the one I was supposed to spend the rest of my life with. I gave my body over to more than I should. Please forgive me for giving my body to. Now list the names. Just list them out. This took me a long time. If you can't remember the name, you remember the place. Holy Spirit, I pray that you remind right now. Give them a flash of names, faces, places. That everything will come into the light. the safety of your light. Yes. Give them the pictures. Because, Father, you were already there. You were there. There's nothing hidden from you. I just say this, say, I ask that you break the soul ties that I have with these names that I just mentioned. And Father, send your reaping angels to each name I've mentioned to bring back my soul back to me. The part of my soul that was imparted into them, bring that back to me, that I may be whole again. Yes. And I give the part of their soul that is inside of me, that has confused my soul, complicated my soul, filled my soul with everything they had in them, which was probably about as big of a mess as I am. I don't need more mess. I willingly give their souls back to them right now. Father, thank you for forgiving me. So in the name of Yeshua, I take authority over my soul and I break the sin and the spirit of fornication and sexual immorality off of my body. Sexual immorality, lust, perversion, you have no longer a legal right in me. By the confession of my mouth, I am cleansed by the blood of Yeshua. He died for me. He died for these sins. No matter how many times I've done it, he cleanses me right this minute. Yes. So sexual immorality and fornication, lust, seduction, perversion, I break your powers. I command you to come out of my soul, off of my heart, my ears, my eyes, my hands, and my feet. Yeah.
Just stay right there. Right now, I bind that spirit of sexual immorality and fornication. You have no power, no legal right by the confession of their mouths. Your power is over and it's done. That which is bound in heaven is loosed in heaven, loosed on earth, loosed in heaven. Bottom line, fornication, sexual immorality that has completely gone all over this land. We break your powers. We do not stand with you. We stand against you. We also break fornication and sexual morality off of the next generation. In fact, do this with me. Everybody stand to your feet and let's stand on behalf of our nations on this one. And I have seen this one work in my own family with my own children. My children that did not repeat what Hans and I did. Are you listening to me? My children who have had sex with their one spouse who are... Putting aside my older daughter who was raised by somebody else who has lived the way they lived. But my four babies, we broke this curse off of them and those children have met with their mates as virgins. I've got one left. That is the breaking of a generational curse. That's the breaking of a generational curse right there. No pregnant out of wedlock with those four that Hans and I have raised. Isn't that crazy and amazing? There should have been pregnancy at 17. There should have been adoptions. There should have been multiple children out of wedlock. None. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's only by the grace of God. Only by the grace of God. So you take authority over your family right now and you simply say this. Say, I break the generational curse of sexual sin off of my seed. I break it off of me because I'm asking for forgiveness right now for the sins of my father's father back to Adam for sexual immorality and fornication. I ask for forgiveness on behalf of my mother and her mother's mother back to Eve of sexual sin, fornication, and sexual immorality. I break the curse right now off of my bloodline and everything that comes with it. I sever the cord for sexual immorality, and this sexual immorality will not touch my seed, will not touch my children, will not touch my children's children's children in the name of Yeshua. Sexual immorality, you are an evil, wicked spirit. You are a liar. You are not acceptable. You are not welcome. You are not needed for pleasure. You are an evil spirit, and there is a place for you in hell. So you leave my bloodline. You leave my bloodline in the name of Yeshua. Yes. Yes. Spirit of perversion, take your hands off of my work life. Take your hands off of my finances, off of my eyes, out of my heart. You will not pervert my way. The living God promises, and he happens to be my father, that he makes every crooked way straight. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Father. Yes. Okay. Yes, yes, yes. So I want you to put your hands up to the heavens and say this after me. Say, Father, I receive your spirit of forgiveness deep within my soul, where bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness once lived very comfortably as I provided a house for them. I have rejected them, casted them out of my spirit. So, Father, put in me your spirit of forgiveness. Yes. Spirit of forgiveness, I receive you. I receive you and all of the blessing that comes with you. Yes. Spirit of peace, I receive you deep within my soul. Come into the place where anxiety, worry, and fear once lived. Holy Spirit, dwell in me. Give me shalom. Making me complete, giving me serenity and peacefulness. Yes. Let peace come from my mouth, peace come out of my eyes, peace on my hands. Yes. Thank you, Father. Let peace direct my feet.
Yes. Thank you, Father.
I receive, loosed from heaven, a sound mind in the place of where witchcraft once dwelt. I receive a sound mind and the mind of Yeshua, that the mind of the Messiah is my mind. Yes. I receive the spirit of truth in the place of lies, where the spirit of lies, where the deceiver and the defender once lived. The spirit of truth, come, I welcome you into my soul. Spirit of truth of the living God, take root inside of me.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
Spirit of affection. Yes. Father, loosen your spirit of affection over my soul. Right now, I receive your spirit of affection. Yes. Yes, I receive your spirit of intimacy. Intimacy, come and dwell in me. Woo! Yes, grow in me. Yes. Grow in me. Fill me, intimacy. Woo! Drive me to intimate places, intimate, appropriate relationships. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. Thank you, Father. Yes, I receive. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Yes, affection, come. Affection, come. Affection, come. Fill my body. Oh, fill my hands. Fill my eyes. Yes. Oh, you, Father, you say that your affections for me are great. Woo! Yes, I receive that. I receive affection. I receive the affection of the living God. I receive the affection of my Savior, the Messiah. I receive the affection of my brethren. Woo! Yes, I receive that deep into my soul. Oh God, I pray that you fill that and you feed it. Feed the affection. Feed the affection. Oh my gosh, this is awesome. Woo! Yes, yes, yes. Sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry, but yes, I want more. Yes, Father, thank you for your affection. Thank you for your affection. Yes. Father, I pray. Oh, yes, Father, I pray that the deserts of that held the place of anti-intimacy, those deserts, those dry, those cracked, those brittle places, that you send a rushing flood of intimacy, a rushing flood of affection, a rushing flood of trust. Oh, yes. Father, I pray wisdom. Yes, we receive your spirit of wisdom. Yes, say, I receive the spirit of wisdom. Yes, I receive it deep within my soul where stupidity was living. Stupidity that drove me into bed with the wrong people. Stupidity that drove me into debt. Spirit of stupor has left, has gone to hell. I receive the spirit of wisdom. Yes. Wisdom beyond my years, wisdom of the Ancient of Days dwells inside of me. Yeah, I receive the Spirit. Gosh, yes, sorry, of acceptance. Spirit loosened from heaven, the spirit of a, yes, I keep saying that word. Yes, thank you. Yes, wild. I loosen from heaven because the keys to the kingdom of heaven, that which you bind on earth is bound in heaven. That which you loose in earth is loosed in heaven. So I loose right now over my soul the spirit of love and the spirit of passion from the heavens. Yes. Yes. Yes, I loosen the spirit of acceptance. And the affection that comes from acceptance. Yes. Spirit of affection that comes with acceptance. Wow, this is not letting my tongue go. Come, dwell in me. I say yes to you. Come, set up room. Take all the space you want. Woo, I want to receive acceptance that I might give it to others. Freely I receive it. Freely I will give it. And I will give the affection that comes with acceptance. Yes, I receive the spirit of adoption. Yes, the spirit of adoption of my Father, who has adopted me into his heavenly kingdom, who has anointed me as a priest and a king. Yes, yes. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes, that's why. Spirit of affection. Come to the place where neglect once lived. I receive it. Woo. Neglect has left a void. Fill me, Father, with your affection. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your admiration. Oh, fill me with your affection. Fill me with your smile. Fill the place of neglect with great joy. I loosen from heaven joy, joy, joy into my soul. Joy. Yes. 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 I loosen from heaven the spirit of laughter that is medicine for the soul. I receive laughter. In the place of sadness. Sadness from neglect. Oh, yes. I receive again affection. In the place of loneliness. Loneliness is gone. Loneliness is in hell. I am not alone. He will never leave me. Nor forsake me. I am his. He is mine. And his affection is for me. Ooh, yes. Yes. Oh, man. Yes. Wow. Yes. I say this, I am no longer second best. I am no longer an outcast. I am not rejected. I am not forsaken. I am loved, and the affections of my Father fill my soul. He's affectionate towards me because he adores me just the way I am, just as I am, for who I am, for he made me in his image. And it doesn't matter if man cannot understand me because man cannot even understand God. I receive the spirit of understanding. Yes. You don't have to beg. You don't have to beg him. This is his desire for you. You just have to receive it. Don't you understand? You might have had to beg your earthly parents to pay attention to you, but your Father in heaven has never taken his eyes off of you, has never once taken his eyes off of you. His affections for you has never left you. You were just looking in the wrong place to try to get something from someone who can't give it to you. Yes, 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 yes. Fill me, Father. I loosen from heaven because I have the authority because of Yeshua who dwells in me. His authority is in me. So I can loosen from heaven anytime. Anytime I need it. Any place that I need it. And I need right now the spirit of understanding.
that I will deeply know that I am cared for, that I am loved, cherished, honored, adored. Yes, and I am not a waste of time. I am not a nuisance. Those words no longer belong to me. I'm not in a pain in someone's backside. And I am not a burden. I am welcome in my Father's house. I am welcome in my daddy's presence. He loves it when I call on him. He loves to hear me talk. He loves to see the tears rolling down my cheek. He loves to hear me laugh. He likes my jokes. He likes my interests. And he rejoices in me. Yes. Thank you, Father. Say, I accept myself just the way I am. And I choose to love the form and the gift that he's given me. And I trust that he gave me weaknesses so that I would walk with him. Because in my weakness, he is strong. If I was strong in every area, I'd have no need for him. Wow. Say this after me. Shema, Israel, Yahweh, Elihenu, Yahweh, Echad. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our God, and he is one. I receive the spirit of the living God, the one true God, into my soul right now, in place of where the false gods once dwelt. Yes, yes. I receive the spirit of oneness with my Father in heaven. Yes, I receive the spirit of purity into my soul that is no longer fragmented. I receive the gift of life on my tongue and in my ears. In place of word curses, I commit tonight to speak life. I receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gift of motivation, the gift of encouragement deep within my soul. Ooh, yes. Say, Father, encourage my soul and teach me to encourage my soul. I'm your child. Teach me, train me, guide me. Yes. Yes. I receive the gift of prophecy. Yes. The gift of visions. The gift of tongues. The interpretation of tongues. The gift of motivation. The gift of discernment of spirits. As tonight my eyes were opened wide. Yes. I receive the gift of miracles. The gift of healing. The gift of hospitality. Yes. That I may even entertain angels without even knowing it. Yes. I receive the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love into me right now. Joy, peace, patience. Even as a ruby, I receive patience. As an emerald, I receive patience. As a pearl, I need some patience. As a sapphire, I receive patience. Yes. Gentleness and self-control. Today I choose to walk in the Spirit. Tomorrow I will wake up and choose to walk in the Spirit. Instead of the flesh. Just stay right there. Baruch atah Yahweh Eloheinu Melech Haolam. That is, blessed are you, Yahweh, our God and King of the universe. Shabbat Shalom. Say, I receive Shabbat. Rest, stillness in my soul. In the place where anxiety, torment, and fear was living. Say, I am a child of God. He adores me. I am his chosen child that he wanted so badly. That he planted me in my mother's womb. Say, I bless myself. I accept myself. I choose to love what God loves, and he loves me. Say to say thank you for answering all of my needs, for never failing me, being so good to me. Thank you for being faithful and true and just. Thank you for how you've blessed me. Thank you for the people you've surrounded me with. Thank you for the love of my friends, the love of my family, even though some of them don't know how to show it. I know they love me. Thank you for how you've blessed me with meeting this new community, bringing us here. Thank you for opening my eyes and my heart to know you better. Glory. Yes, without all the hoops and rah-rah and religious stuff. Thank you, Father. There's just no one like you. There's no one like you. As we now are going to wrap up the night, we're going to end the night with a blessing, a tunnel of blessing, of words being spoken over you and blessing over you. Can I get the Israel team as well as Jackie, do you guys, to take out this first row and we start to create for a tunnel? Two rows need to be moved, and I don't know where we're moving them. We can't move the stairway at all. Legally bound, permanently attached. So these first two rows, like these chairs move that way and these chairs maybe move that way. Is that how we have it organized? First two rows, we got to move the chairs out of the way. They can't be near the stage. So, Israel, please create a tunnel, and then I want my normal guys to, Brad, Jackie, I want you in the middle. Harper, please come over here and stand in the place where I normally stand. And we want to get in front of that stairway. We don't want, yeah, you. Create the two lines. And I need some men. Zahar, Andres, come on this side. Jen, have instructions been given to them? Not everybody. Yeah. Amen, brother. That's awesome. Go for it. Amen. So in the Bible, we see that blessing can be handed by the laying on of hands. We see it from Elijah to Elisha, Moses to Yehoshua, Joshua. We also see it in the New Testament, that just by the laying on of hands, that a blessing that is inside of one can be passed down to the next. We also see that the Bible shows us about blessing, and even that the Jews understand the culture of blessing, even like saying shalom instead of hello. That's a blessing. Not goodbye, but shalom. That's a blessing. But when Hans and I discovered the blessings that were in the Bible that were passed down like from a grandfather to the children, put your hand under my thigh and let me bless you. Do you understand? When Hans and I first found that and we read that, we realized that his grandparents were aging. and that his two grandfathers had blessing on their lives. Clearly, had great blessing on their lives. And so as soon as we found this in the Bible, the next trip that we had up to Washington and Oregon, we had them bless our children with the blessing that they had on their lives. I encourage you to do that. But this team who is standing up here, many of them have been with us for a really long time. Like Jackie, 12 years, has watched this happen dozens and dozens of times. And many others. Then the team that was in Israel, who've just come back from the blessing of that land, have drank the wine that's blessed from that land, ate the food that's blessed from that land, lived amongst the people for 11 days that's in that land. They're carrying that blessing with them. And we want them to get the chance to pass that to you as a blessing for you. They've got blessing on their lives. These young ladies who have the blessing of purity on their lives. That's a blessing that they have, that they can pass into somebody else. The blessing of healing right next to the two ladies, a doctor who's been gifted to heal, to bring healing to people. Gifting of finances that's in this line. There's a lot of different types of blessings that these people who are standing here, the gift of faith, a blessing of faith, you young Curacao one. Blind faith, a childlike faith. They each carry a blessing. David and his wife, pastors for 25 years, a blessing for the love of God, 9 children. What a blessing. We have brilliant people standing here, like a rocket scientist. That's a blessing. Smart. People who are debt-free now. People whose marriages have been healed. People who've been restored. That's who's standing here. Millions of dollars of debt that's been paid off with these people who are standing here. Great miracles that have happened in these people's lives. Great miracles. Great healings, great restorations. That's the gift that's on them. And they're going to pass that gift on to you. Every single one of you are going to walk out of here with a blessing that's on every single one of these people. I can't think of a better group of people to lay hands on you and to bless you. So, they're just going to speak blessing as you quickly walk through this place. The line is going to start from over there, so everybody stand up. And you're going to create lines as you connect the rows. Just face that way and just start merging. As you walk through this tunnel, hold on. As you walk through this tunnel, you're just going to walk out on that side and out the door. Got it? You're going to walk out the door. Make sense? So you guys can get a little closer. Actually, you guys move closer to them. And just as, listen up. See you guys on this side? You're the pullers. You're going to pull them through. It gets a little thick as it gets somewhere in the middle. And they might be the picker-uppers. Do you understand? So you're just going to pull them through and you just speak blessing. I bless you. I bless you. And whatever blessing it is that you have, you give that blessing to them.